Why are we so sensitive to acts of injustice? Is life unfair? Hi, this is Zdravko Stefanovic from Walla Walla College School of Theology. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that focuses on biblical topics and discussions. Today, we are continuing a series of topics based on one of the less known books of the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. To help us explore this challenging book, I have invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Professor Jean-Paul Grimaud, Chair of Modern Languages Department at Walla Walla College, and Dr. Anthony Abbey, Chair of the Computer Science Department, also at Walla Walla College. Gentlemen, welcome to you again.
Thanks for joining me.
I also would like to thank Susan, our technical assistant, who is helping us here in the studio. For today, we have that question we have already mentioned. Is life unfair, based on our study of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and what that chapter has to tell us about life? Deep within us, there is a voice that tells us when something is not just or right. The author of Ecclesiastes once more talks about the righteous and the wicked as sharing a common destiny, and this is what he considers as an evil. As he reflects on life's mysteries, he makes several statements on what happens to human beings when they die. So, as we look at the first three verses, I do not know if, gentlemen, one of you would like to read some of the verses here, but my question is, or will be, if everything that happens in life is in God's hands, why, then, the same destiny overtakes all?
Well, you used a key word. You said fair earlier. Is equal treatment fair? Equal destiny for all? Is that? Can anything be any more fair than that?
In saying that, you know, I basically was referring to a common saying among people. It's interesting how our author uses a much stronger term. You know, he calls it an evil.
There's certainly injustice, and I alluded to the idea earlier that even living a righteous life can produce an unbalance or a distortion in life for someone else. Accidents happen. If an accident happens, I would like some justice, but it's unavailable to me in this life. It almost requires a supernatural, well, I shouldn't say it almost, it does require a supernatural solution to provide ultimate justice and mercy.
All right. But, you know, I'm looking here at Psalm 73:2. The psalmist wondered, surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. So why should we do all the right things in life if life is so unpredictable? Jean-Paul.
Well, obviously we live in the best world possible, first. And secondly, I think there is a misconception in here. And that misconception is that if one does the right things, he deserves some sort of reward. Why is that? Why do we have to deserve something because we do the right things and not doing it just because it is right? Do you see my point in there?
Yes, but if I come to a store and I see an article that I would like to buy, and there is a price there, and I honestly pay for it, you know, only to find out later on that the article is broken. I have acted rightly and justly. Why am I treated that way? I need to go to the customer department, customer service, and complain. So that's what bothered the author of the book of Ecclesiastes. I act justly, therefore I expect justice in return.
What I meant in terms of ethics, how do we define what is right? How do we define that? What are the standards? Is there something that is beyond our scale and sets of values that can define what is right?
Let's proceed with my parable. If I need to walk back to the customer service, I exercise more and I spend energy that I don't, that extra energy that I don't need. So there may be some good in it. Rambo is helping me find some here, Anthony.
Well, let me pose a question to you along the lines of why should we be good? And let me consider four different communities. Would you like to live in a community where the people's behavior, their good behavior, is based on a fear of punishment? Or a community where the people's good behavior is based on the promise or the gift of something good? We could say one is based on fear, the other is based on greed. Yeah. A community where people just simply do what is good, but they have no clue why they behave that way. They just are that way. Mm. Or a community where the good behavior is the result of careful thought and negotiation and trying to figure out what is best for all. Well, I can see problems with either of those, with any one of those communities. Mm. Mm. But I still leave the puzzle to you.
Well, so to do good in life in spite of the consequences that may not be what we think should happen.
Yeah. Sorry. My question again is, what determines our intentions? Mm-hmm. Is it because it's right per se, or because we expect reward? Mm-hmm. That's a pure philosophical, you know, ethical mm-hmm. question.
What if it is, what if the answer is both and?
Well, you know, since you're not picking up on my question.
No, I'm not.
I would argue that we need, again, all four types of individuals. There's no single solution that meets mm-hmm. everyone's needs, just as one size does not fit all. There's no one ethical scheme or no one answer that satisfies all needs or personalities.
Well, that seems to be the conclusion of the teacher also, you know, who said that basically we have to accept some things in life as mysteries and just do good to others and enjoy God's blessings. Here is another topic from this chapter, verses 4 through 10. And it says, anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. This goes very much in agreement with the overall teaching of the Bible, that the dead people, they are in the state of sleep. And there is, however, one question that I would like to pose to you, and it is not an easy question. Why is it hard for so many people to accept the fact that dead know nothing, that they are asleep? In studying the Bible, we reach that conclusion. The dead people, they don't know anything. And yet, through generations, and even today, there have been and there are so many people who simply cannot accept that statement as final. And there is always an attempt to communicate with the unseen world, with those, you know, who are dead, and so on. An active involvement in it. What is it that prompts people to do that?
Well, wasn't the answer given early in Ecclesiastes, this sense of eternity, this continuity, this refusal to accept the cycles of nature.
Hmm.
One thing I know, I can't speak for them. I mean,
that's
all
right.
Dead people.
True.
So we were created with a plan, with God's intention to live eternally. And then something has gone wrong, and now when you know, we're in a state of death and so on, at least those who are living, they do not accept that fact. You know, they would like the dead people to be still alive and so on. Mm-hmm. And that's God's ultimate plan, mm-hmm. right? But it has to happen the way in which we find in the Bible. So again, at the end of this passage, beginning with verse 7, Ecclesiastes says, let's take a break and stop thinking for a while. Go and enjoy God's blessings. So what are some of the blessings that he's inviting us to enjoy?
This is the French way.
It's a hymn of joy, isn't it, this part?
So I don't know if you would like to read a few verses beginning with verse 7 or you would like to list them, but we shouldn't be spending all our time, Anthony, just pondering these issues. We should take breaks.
Absolutely. Okay. Go, what eat your food do? With joy and gladness. Drink your wine with a joyful heart. For it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white. Always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life. Had to enter that, didn't he? Mm-hmm. That God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days.
You know, sounds contradictory on the one hand. He mm-hmm. says, do the things that are utterly meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, he says, you will find some meaning in life by enjoying these blessings.
Yes.
It's we come back to what Jean-Paul mentioned several weeks ago. I remember when you said, it all depends on our perspective, mm-hmm. how we approach these blessings mm-hmm. of God. Do you want to comment more about this? Have I interrupted anyone?
I'd like to comment, if you don't mind, go back to the issue of injustice. I think we are here to discuss and we comment and we try to elaborate and ideas. But yeah, you know, in terms of injustice, I think it's our responsibility to stand up and to act consequently when we face, you know, acts of injustice.
To do our part.
To do our part, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. When we get down to earth and to the real situation, to reality, I think we should mm-hmm. act. And mm-hmm.
So even though we may not have all the answers to the question of what we call theodicy, the justice of God, you know, we can be proactive. Well, I would like to summarize by saying that often in life, it seems that people do not get what they deserve. Several passages in the Bible, such as Psalms 37, 73, Habakkuk 1-2, address this issue. The prophet Jeremiah once wondered, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? The author of Ecclesiastes also pondered these issues in several places of his book. He came to the conclusion that the righteous persons will live by their faith in God. I would like to thank both Dr. Anthony Abbey and Professor Jean-Paul Grimaud for their valuable contributions today. Next time again, they will be my guests. I also thank Suzanne for her technical assistance here in the studio. Please join us next week as we continue to explore the messages from the biblical book of Ecclesiastes. Thank you all for tuning in. For Probe, I'm Slavko Stefanovic.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.